Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart, The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him. He loves us so much. He has so many wonderful things in store for us. And this is a glorious day that the Lord has made. This is June the 6th, Monday, June the 6th, 2022. The Lord is looking for people that will hear Him with the intent to do His word. And when He finds people that will hear Him out, He will fill them with His loving words of life. Now, I've been teaching last few days how it's so important for God to introduce the current not revelation that He's giving through people of character. They must be people of character, people that will drive out the darkness in their lives. Now, a lot of people, the enemy is slick in his ways. He try to get, if you have a mind to do what's right, the devil will have you to be in pride about your righteousness rather than doing what's right because you love people and you love God. And he would rather for you to be foolish about your righteousness than wise. Once you begin allow any form of pride, if you're working for your righteousness and you're making sacrifices in order to be righteous, he can't stop you from doing what's right if that's what you want to do. But he'll say, well, just, you need a little recognition for this. And so people try to make it known that they're doing all these deeds. And it turns into salvation by works. And the enemy is slick when he does this. He did it with the early church. The early church, they were doing great. They were finding out that Jesus, that God loved them. They were receiving revelation. And the enemy just didn't stand by and watch. He stirred up the religious pride of the Jewish people because they were used to people looking to them to get to know God. They're the ones who exited Egypt in the miraculous way. They had the stories. They had the law of Moses. But see, religious pride always misses the point. The religious pride it won't work. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is because this is infiltrated in our culture. When you study Colossians chapter 1 and chapter 2, you see what I'm talking about. The Jews wanted the people of God to be baptized. I mean, not baptized, but circumcised. Or they accused them of not having legitimate righteousness. And they said they had to keep the feast days and such. Always something they had to do when Jesus did everything for us to be righteous. Our righteousness is of Him. It's not because of, we didn't earn this. Now all we do, we just choose to walk in God's love. And that's how we fulfill the law. All of it. When we believe on Jesus, we kept all the feast days. That the ceremonial law is fulfilled in Jesus. If the ceremonial laws pointed to Jesus and we've got the destination, you know, when we look at the road signs, we already at the destination. We came to Christ. The road signs were supposed to be pointing to Christ. All the feast days and all the ceremonial laws that they had. The different types of offerings. Now, when we believe on Jesus, we become righteous as he is. And we do what's right because we can and we want to. We do what's right because we were made righteous. We walk in the love of God because he gave it to us. And when I first got saved, that's all I wanted to do. I wanted to tell him, I said, this peace is good. I got peace, I got joy, and I want everybody to enjoy it like I did. And sometimes people I know and love are making foul decisions. When I see people make bad decisions or decisions that's just not biblical, and you know, it's not what God would want or desire. And I'm like, I'm enjoying the Lord. He's good. I know he's good. I don't, you know, that desire to do wrong is gone. I want that for everybody. And I say, I consider things. I say, well, am I being fair? What else can I do? Jesus made us to be a light to the world. If you live according to his love and his righteousness, you're already an example. You expose it. I can prove it. Because when people really want to do wrong, they avoid people that do right. Now, with that being said, that don't stop me from wanting to reach people. Because I know when people trust the Lord, if they take him at his word and believe him and have faith in him and trust him, they'll be so much better off. And now the Lord's about to return. And every time he talked to me about the rapture and the return, I'm like, what else can I do? How can I reach people? That stays on my mind a lot these days. Because people are hardened in their ways. In yesterday's broadcast at church, Fresh Start, last week I mentioned something that I realized last week. Sometimes people have a revelation of the Word of God, and they receive it to the point, it's a revelation to them. Just like when Peter said, Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, Son of God. And now, when Peter said this, Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but the Father did. Now, the reason I brought that up, it was revelation knowledge to Peter. When the Word of God is revelation knowledge to you, that's when you have faith, the God kind of faith, and it transforms your life. Now, I'm going to read exactly what Peter said. Verse 15, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them. Now you see the superstition of God's people, the religious bunch. They said you were John the Baptist, Elijah, you know, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and saith unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, this goes to all that believe, not just Peter. Sometimes people take it that way, but anybody that believe on Jesus, God gave us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So, this was revelation knowledge to Peter. Peter was never, he was not in doubt about who Jesus is from this point. When he denied him three times, the enemy was fighting his mind, but he knew in his heart. And Jesus had prayed for him. And Jesus said, when you're strengthened, strengthen your brothers. Now, at that time, he didn't know how to fight. He didn't know spiritual warfare. He learned it later and became a valiant warrior. He was a warrior class man of God. I wish every man of God was warrior class like that. But it comes from revelation. Now, the Lord pointed out to me in some of last week's broadcast that some people do the same deed with different motives and for different reasons. Some people tithe because they have the revelation of tithe. They saw it in the scriptures and they couldn't wait to get in on it. And they began to tithe and they prospered financially over the top. And some people, they see it, they know it's right, and they grudgingly do it. But they do it as if it's a burden. That's how they measure it. See, in Matthew chapter, not Matthew, but Mark chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus spoke something to us. He said, verse 24, and he said to them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. He that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. So, if you do think, some people are doing the biblical, they live biblically, they do what's right, but they do it grudgingly. And some people, they do what's right, not expecting the full benefit. And some people, they do what's right because they love God. And the word of God, now, whenever people are doing things of God out of the heart of love, that's how the word of God becomes revelation to you. Now, what if all parts of the word became revelation knowledge to you and you live by it? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, just imagine for a moment. In most cases, we are skilled at one part more than another. I understand that. And for a long time, I could get healed. I wasn't the most skilled person to get healed, you know, to believe for healing, but I've done it. Others seem to do it much easier than I do. And I receive revelation from the Lord all the time. And financially, it was a more of a struggle to prosper financially than other things. But I believe the principles of God. If I owe somebody else, I would find a way and pay them. No matter how, you know, it didn't matter what it was. But if it was me, I had a more of a struggle that way. Now, this happened for, so people have different skill sets. But with God, all things are possible. So I say, what if everyone who loves God, what if all of his word became revelation knowledge to them? And then their lives would begin to prosper in a multiplied way. Now, but Jesus said that, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. That's the prosperity message. Because prosperity is not just getting a bunch of stuff. Prosperity is receiving the knowledge of God and embracing it, and it's and you treasure it. That's how it becomes revelation to you. That's what the parable of the sower is all about. People that's always frustrated and worried, they exhaust the word of God. The word is stolen from them through their worry or their greed. They're not handling the things of God with faith. They're letting doubts and frustrations take over. Now, this is a huge problem. Because in Jeremiah chapter 18, the Lord sent Jeremiah to the potter's house. And he saw the potter making pottery on the wheel. And when it didn't turn out right, he made it over. He made it right. And the Lord wanted to do the same thing with his people. But they were just too contrary. Why would people that once loved God become so contrary? All these things, these stories are made for our admonition so that we won't go out and duplicate what they did. But the reason is, it's the way we handle what do we allow to be revelation to us, and what do we ignore? What are we measuring too small? And why should we should measure all of God's word in a greater way? There's always more revelation to receive. The easiest way to do these things that I'm saying, if you want to, is to walk in love. Love gives you the ability to see as God sees. I'm not just making that up. That's 1 John chapter 1 and 2. See, love causes you to see things that you can't, that you normally would overlook. 1 John chapter 2. He said, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate of the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Well, now watch this part. "But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him, and he that abides in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. He that saith he is in the light and hates his brothers in darkness even now." So that's another category, that darkness. "But he that loves his brother abides in the light," or "he that loves his brother lives in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him." This is how we fulfill the law. But Satan would say, "Well, you're putting forth a lot of effort. You're doing things and people don't notice it. Don't you want people to notice it? Don't you want people to know how hard you're working?" You know what? Laugh at that. He's miserable. If you want to be miserable, go down his road. But you can laugh at that, because if you love your brother, you abide in the light of God, and there's no way in the world you're going to stumble. When it comes, if he try to poison your mind with lust, you love your sisters, and you love the ways of God. You want to see them blessed in heaven. And no matter how beautiful they are, and they're supposed to be, you're complete in Christ. And your love cast out fear. And if it cast out fear, you can't lust after a person if you love them. You can see things as it is. There's no way in the world you'll stumble if you walk in the love of God. He that loves his brother, he lives in the light. This is your home. This is what you like. And there's no occasion. I know it works. All you have to do is be when the word of God is revelation to you. I appreciate what Jesus did for me. When Satan would try to tempt me, I'd get upset. I used to get angry at him. But I yielded to the Lord. I said, Lord, show me how to deal with these things. And he showed me his ways. Now, I don't believe in just putting a Band-Aid on a problem. I said, Lord, I want all this. I want to see what you see. And he taught me. I said, I want you to teach me how to be free. And he went right back to the, he taught me, trained me in the love of God. That's how he helped me win in so many different, various types of victories. Verse 11, he said, but he that hates his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now, darkness is something that it changes your heart. In order for Adam to eat off, or anybody to do what Adam did, to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, to do something and you know it's just wrong, the only way you can proceed, you have to have a leaven of hatred. I'm going to say that again. You have to have a leaven of hatred to cross the boundaries of love. Love has restrictions and that you just don't cross. But you have, if you have a leaven of hatred, then you'll go and eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You'll cross the line and commit darkness. And it will start blinding your eyes. The kingdom of hell, or the world system, same thing. You can't see the exit door, because the enemy lulls people into a slumber comfort. His fun is deadly. And it takes away your identity. It takes away your purpose. You start feeling sad again. You start feeling sorrowful. You know what's right, but you do wrong. And every time you do it, your hearts get harder against God. And, it's important for people to make godly choices. But what if people received all of God's word as revelation and measured it great? Well, if you measure it enough to continue in it, it's not going to stop. The word of God will not be reduced in your eyes. It will get greater. Every time you receive another part of God's word, you learn another portion of God's ways, and you ever increase. And your faith increases. Your expectation increases. Your advice goes up. All this happens from the love of God. Now, I've been talking about balance so many times. I read it. I'm going to read it again, because it really helps see a condition. I used to wonder, why do people do what they do? And this answered a lot of questions. I asked the Lord about balance. I stayed balanced when I didn't know what to do. I would read what Jesus said. I would remember what he said, and I would position myself according to his word. I live by his words. So when I didn't understand, I regarded what Jesus said, and I stayed balanced. I was able to maintain my emotions or temperance. I was able to continue in temperance and not have a loss of temperance. So I said, what is your definition of balance? He said, balance is determined sincerity to the love of God, the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God, saith the Lord. And then he said, perfect balance is relentless sincerity. It is steadfast and unmovable and never changes. Then he said this, Proud men can never be balanced, valued, or appreciated. Now, they did what John was telling people not to do. It says, he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, and knoweth not where he goes, because the darkness has blinded his mind, his eyes. The darkness has blinded his eyes. He can't see anymore. And then once a person becomes proud, they can never be balanced, valued, or appreciated. And then the Lord continues saying, they are enemies to my balance, saith the Lord. Their focus is within, and it is a worldly view. Sometimes people have not let go of their worldly ways. Now, this is all, I'm bringing all this up, because I don't want people to fall. And I want people that really love God to understand what their enemy is doing to their kinspeople, their people, people that they care about, people they minister to. This is what the devil's doing. He's trying to darken people's hearts so that they won't ever repent. Because when you go down his road, it's going to change you into something you really don't want to be. If you allow the leaven of Satan in your life, it's going to work against you. And so many people have worldly appetites. And right now, I'm really not talking about the world right now. I'm talking about God's people. Once they become leavened, they will not have appetite for the things of God. And they'll use the scriptures to justify what they do. And unless you receive what God is saying and love the pure things in this life and love God's love, love his people. See, the way you love God is the way you love man. It can never be separated. That's a standard. If you can do a brother or a sister wrong, if you can lust at a woman in your heart, Jesus said that's the same as committing adultery with her. If you can hold strife against your brother, you can hold strife against God too. It can't be separated. So some people say, well, you're trying to put people in condemnation. No, I'm trying to make people aware of what. See, darkness, not only will it cloud your judgment, it will change your appetite. And that's worse than clouding your judgment. Once you have the devil's appetite, it's hard to go to love God. If you have any likeness of Satan, it's hard to resist him if you agree with him. And this has been proven on the battlefields. In every war, if anybody that was fighting their enemy, if they liked their enemy, or if they agreed with their enemy, it was hard to shoot at them. They didn't fight. If they really loved their country, this country was trying to take over your country, but you like their ways, you can't fight them right. If you're lustful, you're not going to run Satan off. You like his ways. You may not like all the hell that follows, but it will affect the way you serve God and the way you fight the enemy. Now, I've gave so many examples. And, you know, Saul tried to hunt David. David was a patriot. And David wasn't trying to replace him. He was anointed to be king, but he let God exalt him. He didn't exalt himself. But Saul never repented from his ways. So when these things are there. God gave us these this information, not to embarrass the people that did these things, but it's for our admonition, so we don't go down the same road. God doesn't waste anything. What we do in public, if you say something in public, you said it. If you do something in public, you did it. If you did something and tried to hide it, you did it. Now, God gave us examples so that we wouldn't reproduce the same problem. Now, many people in the Word of God that did wrong, such as Adam, they did repent of their ways. They hated their decisions. And then they prayed to Adam didn't just sin. He's known as the man that ate the apple, but he didn't stop there. He started looking to God. And he desired good things for his children. Now Enoch was born. He was the seventh from Adam. And he became a great man of God. He probably was trained by Adam. Adam didn't just sit around sulking in his decision. God was able to restore us through Christ. Adam was counting on Christ to come. Adam wanted his people saved, just like we want to be saved. So, but all the traps that people have fell into, the Lord gave us this knowledge so that for our admonition. Now, the short of all of this, stay in the love of God, measure the word big, and let all of it become revelation to you. And your life will change. And like Charles Capp says, the core religious doctrines you've received as truth, reject it now. Forget it. And let God fill your heart with the word and let the Holy Spirit minister to you. And you'll never have a problem walking in the love of God, which gives you every answer. Now, I'm out of time. The Lord is not here. Continue to mighty move in your life.